And we thank you so much for being here with us. Third and final hour. If you missed any part of today's show, you can subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. You can like us on Facebook. We are so happy to be back in full force. I'm Damie Barling along with Jason Ross and the returning Kenneth Logan Rudolph. Lots of NFL news. Obviously, we opened the show today talking about the Sacramento Kings. They lost to the Timberwolves 102-88. And the fact is, the T-Wolves didn't look good. You know, we talked with Alan Horton yesterday about that team and what's ahead for them, and they don't look sharp yet. That's a team that they have a lot of questions. Granted, they're a little bit different than the Sacramento Kings are in that you know what they're building around, those two young pieces that they have in Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns, but it's just not clicking for them yet. And last night, despite the way that they won, I think that was far more indicative of the Kings than it was the T-Wolves, because they did not look good.
Yeah, and I think they're in a spot where, as when we talked to Alan yesterday, they're doing everything they can to make the 8 seed. That's what they would like to do. They've got a longer drought, only a longer drought than the Kings is them. But I could see the benefit of maybe one more year of just missing, having a quality draft pick, adding the veterans that he said they felt they needed. And then I think they might really be on their way. I think they're a team to watch, certainly in the near future.
But is their main problem? I think, yes, they are the team to watch, but they seem to have one issue. they have a point guard. I don't know if he's good or not, but they have a point guard. Like, he plays point. That's what he does. Nothing else but that.
Like, he's the traditional point.
Like, he's a pure point guard. But that doesn't seem to be working for them. Is that the last thing they need, is to find themselves a point guard that fits more with what they're trying to do? Because Ricky Rubio obviously is not.
I think that's part of it, maybe. I mean, I know they said he was referencing guys that they had in the past, whether it was Kevin Garnett being brought back or Tayshaun Prince, some good veterans. Even referenced Anthony Tolliver when he was there. Just those kind of guys they don't have right now on their bench, really. And that's where they're a little bit light, though their bench was better yesterday. But if you're building around LaVine, Wiggins, Towns, that's pretty nice. You just got to find the other filler pieces and point guards. One of them, they drafted Dunn thinking he might be that guy, and so he's still in his rookie year, though.
Yeah, I like Chris Dunn. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately he will be the guy that Ken is talking about. They don't want to get back in the lottery, but I absolutely think that's where they're headed. I don't think they're going to keep their head above water headed. I really think we're talking about the Nuggets. The Trailblazers. I don't think the Pelicans are in the conversation. I don't think the Sacramento Kings are in the conversation. I don't think the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the conversation. I know they're there. I know what the records are. Dallas the same way. I know what the records are. It just, I don't see it.
Like a month from now, you think it's those two.
I don't see it.
Repeat that. Who do you think?
Denver and Portland. The Nuggets and the Trailblazers.
Really? The Nuggets? All right.
They've been less inconsistent than everybody else. I mean, like, really, look at what we're talking about here with that eight seed. We're not we noted this. You said someone's going to have to win it. No, someone's just going to wind up with it. Yeah, someone's just going to get it.
Here. Yeah. It's like picking for basketball in elementary school. All right, I'll take that guy. Yeah. He's the number 8 seed.
Well, really, the 8 seed.
Don't screw it up.
The 8 seed is going to be the team that's not picked. You know what I mean? It's like, you're the last kid.
One left.
It's going to be me in elementary school, the fat kid. Like, all right, we got him. Come on. Tons of NFL news. We spent a great deal of time talking about Adrian Peterson. Again, no shocker here, not breaking news. It's just official today. The Vikings will not exercise their option on Adrian Peterson's contract. $18 million option they will not exercise. If you remember, Le'Veon Bell was franchised yesterday for $12.2 million. There was no chance Adrian Peterson was going to get a deal. And now that I think about it, with Le'Veon Bell making $12.2 million, that $10 million that we threw out for Adrian Peterson might be kind of high. I don't know if it's – I mean, that was my initial thought, just like you, was $10 million. But if Le'Veon Bell is making 12, is there a $2.2 million difference between the best running back in the league and the guy who was the best running back in the league 3 or 4 years ago?
Like we said, though, you got to pay him.
No, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to treat him.
Yeah.
Or at least treat him like he's an important.
Especially because the football money is, I don't want to say fake, but it's close to fake money, right? So you can throw the bigger contract out there with certain guarantees. But
we'll
then,
give you $60 million.
Yeah.
But really, you're only going to
guarantee.
Yeah, you're not going to see $60 million. The big one is Kirk Cousins. We'll touch on that. Eric Berry is finalizing a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. He has been franchised a couple times, said he did not want to play under another franchise tag. Kansas City stepped up. They're going to make him the highest paid safety in all of the NFL. Chiefs making moves today. Jamal Charles today.
Yeah, they kind of had to do that.
They absolutely had to do that.
And maybe they can kind of reset, recalibrate, and get him at a different price, and maybe they can use him in a different role. Or do you think there's another? I mean, he's 30, which is not that bad, and he's missed pretty much the last 2 years.
Running back at 30.
But he's missed the last 2 years. So yeah, maybe he's got something.
You're saying it as if it's a good thing. And right? I get what you're insinuating, like he hasn't been hit.
Exactly.
But the problem is he got hit twice, and it's cost him like the season.
So just put him in bubble wrap, and you're good. Like, I wonder if there's a team that has, because he's great catching the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. You get him out in the open field. So there's got to be a team that's like, you know what? We're not going to make you run between tackles.
It just gets bad when he gets hit.
You're going to keep everything to the outside like New Orleans did with Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush, yeah.
They're like, you cannot run between tackles. But we'll get you out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I know yesterday you brought up too, Damian, about Latavius Murray maybe being out. And you said, where could he land? What about Kansas City? I know they got West and Ware, but I don't know. That would kind of hurt the division, but just want some money and the chance.
Well, look at it like this. If you're in the Adrian Peterson sweepstakes, right, and we're talking, we'll say Kansas City. We could throw Adrian Peterson's name in there with Kansas City. We throw him in with Denver. Is Latavius Murray the backup? So if once the Adrian Peterson piece falls, is Latavius Murray the next running back that you're out there trying to get? Because you talk about shaking up the division in Kansas City. If Adrian Peterson can go to Denver, why can't Latavius Murray?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, then he'd just be the same in the line of running backs they already have. He's already just like what they have. Booker, and is Anderson still there?
Mm-hmm.
These are backs that are serviceable,
yeah,
but not exciting.
Yeah.
There was nothing that Latavius Murray did in the entire 16, let's go ahead and add the playoffs as well. I don't remember any time he did anything that was remotely worthy of a highlight. Like, I don't remember him breaking any runs. I don't remember anything like, oh, did you see that run from Murray?
Like, you forgot he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I encourage any Raider fan out there, please give me the date and the time code of the game, and I'll go find that highlight. But you're going to be looking for that until next year because there weren't any. So a guy like that, in my opinion, I think he's going to have a hard time getting a job because we already talked about what do you need him for? You can get anybody to be invisible.
1,000 yards.
You could still, just because they weren't an exciting. Were they empty calories, Ken? Is that what his yards were? Were they empty calories?
Except for one game. There was one game where they just really used, like,
I think it was Tennessee, maybe.
No, it was Denver. Didn't they just use the running game?
Oh,
the Raiders
just
ran
primarily
up
running
and down. Yes. So that was the game where he was really, really
the
useful.
The Giants will take the empty calories. They'll take
the
Latavius Murray. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay.
He has.
I think that's what you need.
Don't rely on him. Let Adrian Peterson shake out, right?
Yeah.
So let's see where he goes. I think he might wind up in Green Bay. I really do. I would love to see him in Oakland because I feel like that makes so much more sense with him with that offensive line. But Latavius Murray, he could go to Green Bay. He could go to – what will be interesting with him and some of these guys like Jamal Charles also is, are they going to sign after the draft? Are teams going to look at the Dalvin Cooks – and the Leonard Fournettes and Christian McCaffreys and those guys, are they going to look at them like, I'm going to take my chance with a college kid before I worry about signing a
See, here's
a
the thing.
Pro.
If I'm the Raiders, because I could totally see the way that they appear to be kind of set. I like their offense. It's a little bit spread out. They want to pass first. McCaffrey's a great option for that. If you don't do that, if you're not in line to draft that, which you're not, I think Jamal Charles is a much better gamble for the Raiders. Because I don't really think the Raiders need a bruising between the tackles back. I think they just need someone that's going to spread it out and can be dynamic and make something special happen. And I think Jamal Charles on the Raiders would be very interesting.
Hmm.
I would go for that more than I would them getting Adrian Peterson, more than I would them keeping Latavius Murray. I think that the way their offense is going, it's excitement, it's big plays. You don't need any plodding running back there like you have with Latavius Murray.
That's Adrian Peterson.
And I never thought Adrian Peterson was going to work for the Raiders. I feel like Texans is better. They're more of a ball control situation. Raiders are wide open. They want to do things special. But I think Jamal.
But doesn't that free him up a little bit with that offensive line?
But he's not that kind of runner, in my opinion. He has to run between tackles. And I feel
Which works when you have a good offensive line, doesn't it?
Yes. But I feel like for the style of offense, I think they want everything to be wide open, and I think Jamaal Charles would be more dynamic for them. They can get him outside. They can throw him balls. They can throw that bubble screen. They can do all these things with him that you can't do with Adrian Peterson, but you can do with a healthy Jamaal Charles.
Tex Nation. Come on, Ken. Latavius Murray had a nice 10-yard touchdown run.
They know what I'm talking about.
Kirk Cousins. That's kind of the one we were waiting to see what would happen. Again, franchise tags are due tomorrow. Kirk Cousins got the exclusive franchise tag. A friend of the show, Trey Wingo, tweeted out, 17 players have gotten the exclusive franchise tag. One of them was yesterday in Le'Veon Bell. Only 4 played on that deal. What that means is that there's a long-term contract coming for Kirk Cousins, and he's not leaving Washington anytime soon.
I think it was smart on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. But it ended that alert came across as I was putting together my dream scenario for San Francisco 49er fans.
Did that involve him?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It totally involved him because if he had gotten the other franchise tag in which he could have been traded or more likely to have been traded – oh, I had it all worked out. I had the 49ers back.
And then how'd you get Alshon Jeffrey here?
Money.
Oh, use your money to get him,
yeah.
Free agent.
Yeah.
Use your trade to get your quarterback.
Boom.
Done.
Start the process.
Done and done.
Yeah.
All right.
So you got the running back, and then you draft. You could draft a running back, or you could draft an offensive line.
Well, don't you have to? Well, they do have quite a few picks, but that first pick,
you'd probably
have
to give up the second. You'd probably have to give
Cousins,
up the second.
To get Cousins, yep. Right?
It should be okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
they've got a bunch of other picks.
Sure, you'd have to give that up. But, again, you get a running back at the top of the second round or an offensive lineman at the top of the second round. All of this, none of this matters because Kirk Cousins isn't going anywhere.
True.
It's nice that his agent floated out there. He was interested in San Francisco. And essentially the reason that they floated that out there, not just because he likes Kyle Shanahan, but when you are franchise tagged, it's a one-year deal. And the reason his agent would put out there, or whoever put it out, I'm assuming his agent, it would be smart of his agent to put it out there, is Washington can execute a trade with any team they want to, and Kirk Cousins would have to go play for that team. But I assume if you're making a deal like that, you're going to want a long-term commitment from that player. It was very similar to what we heard from DeMarcus Cousins' agent. We're not signing a long-term deal here. But with Kirk Cousins... oh, yeah, you know, I'll go to San Francisco. I'll sign a long-term deal there. I think there was one other team they mentioned, I think as the day went on, it was, oh, he's interested in Cleveland, too. It was like,
no, he's not.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's staying in Washington.
But I could see him okaying a trade to San Francisco, Santa Clara.
He liked Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would give him a chance to start fresh as the man.
Yeah.
Unequivocally, I'm the guy here. Let's move forward. And, yeah, he likes the system. They got some money. They got some things to move around to make this team competitive again. That would have been a nice situation for him. And you don't have to get a running back because I think Carlos Hyde is still viable. You just need to give him something to complement him.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Carlos Hyde falls in the Jamaal Charles category. Really good when they play.
Yeah.
And now I don't mean to insinuate Carlos Hyde has missed as many games over the last couple of years as Jamaal Charles has. He has not. But – we know he gets pretty banged up because he's carrying the workload back there for the San Francisco 49ers. But when he's healthy, man, he can go. But, again, that's a situation that's not going to work out for the 49ers. So it opens up. Like, if you're the 49ers, what do you do now? Kirk Cousins is, by all intents and purposes, he's off the table. So I'm sure they have a plan B through Z, and it goes all the way down. Well, we're going to use our second pick for a quarterback, or we're going to move our second pick and we're going to draft a quarterback in the middle of the round and use whatever pick we grab there to grab person A, B, C, or D. What is the 49ers play now that the Kirk Cousins situation is resolved?
Yeah, I think the Cousins one made the most sense for them, so now you're right. I think it has to be fluid. I think you have to, over the next, with the combine starting, do a serious evaluation of the quarterback talent there and think if that's the area you want to address in the draft, but there's a couple ways to do that. Sometimes you draft a guy that's in the fifth round that you're just adding to the team, but see if he could be something. If you draft him early, you're drafting someone that you're hoping could be the guy now. That's the way the NFL is. So I think if you find that guy, you're picking that early, you can dictate that. You can decide if you like someone at the combines and say, you know what, instead we're going to bring in a Matt Schaub to be a mentor, maybe a starter at the beginning just because we're drafting our guy at number 2. If not, then I think you try to comb that market and see if a Cutler or someone like that is the short-term bridge to whatever you're ultimately going to get to.
Yeah, I think we're dealing a situation with maybe a case where maybe we have already forgotten what the most important man in that room has already said. Whether you like it or not, Jed York's the most important man in that room all of the time. And the man said, this is not a rebuilding situation. So there's absolutely no way he's going to let them draft a quarterback that they got to wait on for 2 years. Absolutely no way he's going to do that. So he's going to force them to do, like you said, comb the market. He's not going to be enthused with a Matt Schaub. And if Kyle Shanahan tries to come in that door with Matt Schaub as his starting quarterback, his owner is going to have a temper tantrum right there in the middle of the playroom.
But isn't that a problem? Can you let your coach and your GM and all of this entirely new front office, can you let them do their job? Can you not throw temper tantrums in the playroom right now? Can you let them do something?
Not if they go against the first thing he said. This is what I'm saying. Like, they're going to get in there and be like, this is what we're going to do. And he's like, the first thing I told you was this is not a rebuilding situation. So if they come and they're talking about, all right, Jed, give us 4 years. We're going
to
get you back in. He's like, nope.
But then he's not evaluating it right. Isn't he? If Jed doesn't think it's rebuilding,
but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. He could be completely delusional if he wants to. He's the most important man in the room.
No, that's true.
And he said this. So they can't go and try to be like, all right, we're going to rebuild this thing from the ground up. Like, no, because now you're going to be in a situation where your general manager and your coach are going against the direct wishes of the owner, and that's how you get yourself into trouble. So just do what the man says. So they need to go in there, and Jay Cutler's probably going to be the guy that they're going to target because they want a quarterback that already knows how to throw the ball, already knows how to get back there and do what a quarterback does. They don't have the time to sit here and train one. They've been trying to do that for 3 years with Kaepernick. They're like, we do not have time to train quarterbacks. We need a quarterback that can play. Give me some players to surround him. Let's go. I don't think they're going to even be thinking about bringing a lot of young talent in.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a very long discussion about how difficult it is to find a backup quarterback. For a lot of franchises, it's very difficult to find a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's I'll use a line that you used in relation to the Sacramento Kings in the NBA. Running a basketball team, change the sport. Running a football team, it's hard.
Yeah.
The Patriots have won 14 some odd titles over in the AFC East. It's hard. I don't know who the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers is going to be. Maybe it is Jay Cutler for a year or two. I don't know. But I don't know how satisfied 49er fans will be with that. I don't know how satisfied Jed York would be with that.
But I mean,
since
like,
you're
how
putting
do you,
all your.
Yeah. How do you tell what's called? I guess they're called a cornerstone franchise, right? The Niners. They've been a huge part of the NFL's history, and they've been successful for a huge part of that time. How do you tell your fan base, admittedly, we're going to rebuild?
You don't. You just do it.
You just, right?
Yeah.
You just do it.
But he already came out and said the opposite. Like, we're not.
You keep bringing up the 8 seed in playoffs, and you try to convince everybody that it's not happening.
Because I'm like, what would you rather? Would you rather an organization look at you and say, look, this is the reality. It's not a magic trick. It's going to take some time. It's a process. We'll get back to you in 5 years.
You make T-shirts that say trust the process.
Right? But, I mean, would you rather as a fan, would you rather the people say, hey, this is going to be 5 years? Or would you rather they keep dangling that carrot out in front of you every year, but it gets further and further away? It's like, wait a minute, what that carrot you were dangling, why is it keep? It's across the street now.
It's the Silicon Valley, so you call it the eye process.
Oh, that's right. It's a good point.
That's a good one, yeah.
The eye process.
I think it'd be a good T-shirt.
That's tough, though. Would you want them to tell you, like, yeah, it's going to be 2 years?
You can't say that. But you try to bring people. You try to bring guys in, and you try to make it click. You try to make it work.
But as a Cleveland Brown fan, aren't you like mad? Like every year, you're like, "We're going to compete." No, you're not. Every year you say that, and we don't. Stop it. Like, wouldn't you be mad every year if you're in Cleveland? Like, come on, quit saying you got RG3. We're not going to compete. Come on.
Yeah, I'd be mad. I would be. But what do you do? I mean, it's not like they're going to lose fans. Did you see the building last year?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, they already weren't there. It can't get any less. Yeah, if it got less, they should just cancel it. Or forget it. We don't need to play this. We just stop selling tickets.
Maybe just, yeah, maybe they just need to be honest and be like, look, it's going to be a minute.
It's a friendly reminder from that Tex Nation does not like Jed York.
Well, yeah.
At all.
I did not know that.
There's not many in his camp.
Why would they not like him?
Oh, we can't read most of these on the air. They're not happy. I still like the idea. Alshon Jeffrey was a big part of my Save the 49ers plan with Kirk Cousins. I still say you get Alshon Jeffrey. It's going to be difficult. I think it would have been a whole lot easier if you were able to get your hands on Kirk Cousins. You could sell Alshon Jeffrey. Look, we got a guy who can throw the ball downfield. We have a guy who threw for 4,900 yards. We have a guy who throws touchdown passes here. You'll fit. You'll be a part of this rebranding of the San Francisco 49ers. Not rebuilding, rebranding.
Clever.
It probably would have helped if we would have been, and he's not Jay Cutler.
Yeah, right. That would have helped too.
It's probably not going to help if Cutler is here.
You probably could have held up a sign that said,
yeah,
not Jay Cutler. We'll come back. The Hall of Fame talk will not die. Terrell Owens and now Randy Moss, who said neither of them are getting in. We'll tell you he's a Hall of Famer next on the Lowdown. You can watch the game tomorrow night with Sports 1140 at the Golden 1 Center. Sacramento Kings play the Brooklyn Nets. You can come see the KHTK Street team from 5:30 to 7:30 and win some awesome prizes right outside the arena. Well, thank you for being here with us on the Lowdown. You know, the conversation about the NFL Hall of Fame hasn't really died down. It seems to continue to be talked about with people on the committee, with people in the Hall of Fame, and it centers around Terrell Owens. And now it's starting to center on Randy Moss, which I find very interesting. T.O., more career receptions than Randy Moss. Randy Moss is on the ballot next year. More yards than Randy Moss as well. The only thing he doesn't have, he has three less touchdowns. Terrell Owens has three less touchdowns than Randy Moss. Bill Polian has been making the rounds, trashing both of them. Bill Polian is a Hall of Famer, and he doesn't believe Terrell Owens or Randy Moss are Hall of Famers. He says on T.O.'s situation, T.O.'s temperament, his ability to contribute to the team was well known up front. He was going to be a problem. We did not want to deal with a problem child. What did Owens do to make his teams better? He put up a lot of numbers. Bill Parcells said he was a disruptive force. Jerry Jones, who's probably one of the most easygoing people when it comes to disruptive guys, got rid of him. I've gotten texts from people in Philadelphia responding to this campaign saying, this guy was a cancer and destroyed our football team. How does that square with the NFL?
That's it.
Where's the write-up on where's his thoughts on Moss?
Randy Moss. Every year in Indianapolis, we said the following. The price of admission is 100% effort all the time in everything we do. Well, how can we take Randy Moss when we make that statement? It's that simple. You certainly wouldn't call Moss's attitude an example of what you want in a football player. I play when I play. I don't buy it.
Okay. While those comments, I'm sure, are all somewhat true, I feel like he's being very hypocritical and disingenuous in the sense that he's not responding like a general manager of the NFL. And you have to make calls on guys that have questionable motives, character, team chemistry. Those guys are on the team all the time. In fact, I'm pretty sure the NFL is comprised of about, let's say 45% of the league is comprised of guys like this. So I'm not quite sure why he's taking this opportunity to show these guys such disrespect. I mean, yeah, they may not have been the best teammates, but I'm not quite sure when that became a factor. And their numbers on the field were amazing. And how about the guys in Philadelphia? Remind them that they've been to two Super Bowls, and the only time they had a chance was when T.O. was on the team. Because the first time against the Raiders, that Eagles team had no shot.
Yeah, and what's interesting, I think hypocritical is the perfect term here, because in Indianapolis, a fellow Hall of Famer who I believe that Owens and Moss are better is Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
And there's still a really weird cloud that's hanging over him.
Which they've conveniently just decided, you know what, the yellow jacket makes that go away.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Oh, and not just yellow jackets, Super Bowl rings. And we'll find this out next year when Ray Lewis comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Can't find that bloody suit anywhere, but I'll be damned. I got a yellow jacket to put on instead. But you want to keep Randy Moss out because he's disruptive.
Yeah,
because we're gonna let the known drug addicts and cocaine addicts, and we're gonna let the guy who sniffed coke off hookers' butts before games in Lawrence Taylor. We're gonna let him in. Cool. First ballot, because you're told you're supposed to only take into account their on the field production.
Exactly.
That's why they have to do it that way. Because you start incorporating other things, then how are we the judge on differentiating a tough locker room guy versus guy that was in trouble with the law versus someone that did something completely illegal to someone that, he was a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how do we, what's the difference? It's just judge the football field.
I there's nothing more annoying than when people pick and choose where they're going to take a stand.
Yeah. Right.
They're going to pick and choose their, I'm not going to stand for this, this, and this. Oh, but I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
O.J. Simpson is in the NFL Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He's serving I don't know how many years in jail. Nah, he's
now,
on his
you're asking them that
jail.
they should go back and take people out.
And that was kind of where I was going.
Okay.
Like, if we're starting to put in morality clauses into the Hall of Fame, somebody from Philadelphia texted Bill Polian and said, this guy was a cancer and destroyed our football team. How does that square with the NFL? Hey, that guy probably killed two people. How does that square with the NFL? Hey, the guy you're going to be celebrating, who everybody preaches about as this tremendous motivator, number 52 in Baltimore. Yeah, he was part of a double murder? Yeah. How does that square with the NFL? Let's not pick and or how does that square with the Hall of Fame? Let's not pick and choose where we stand on this morality clause. Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't understand.
You either do
that.
Or you don't.
I just don't understand why you attack anyone. It isn't like, okay, I might be able to see if you are a borderline player, right? Let's say that you are, who do we think was borderline? Terrell Davis.
Okay.
We're like, okay, you were great, but it was such a short time that you're borderline.
Well, I'll use
right?
a player you talked about before, Frank Gore.
Okay, sure, absolutely. He's borderline, in my opinion. And then you say, okay, what's going to be the deciding factor? Well, let's go to his character. We looked at the numbers. His numbers they're good. Longevity is exceptional. But we need to find something else, okay? Then if you go to that individual and you find out, well, he wasn't a good teammate. Okay, that's a problem. Okay, and he maybe had some issues off the field. Okay, that's where I think that might come into play if somebody's on the fence. But these two individuals we're talking about, their numbers are clear Hall of Fame numbers. Clearly Hall of Fame numbers. And now you're just looking for a reason to keep them out. And that's what it seems like to me, because you didn't like their personality. So you're looking for a reason to keep them out. And I'm like, by the way, so what didn't you like about their personality? They were too cocky? Is that what it was? They were, like, overtly cocky about what they wanted to do? You're still propping up a guy who was cocky one day in 1968 and hasn't done anything since then.
The most overrated player in the history of the NFL.
Right.
And it's not even close.
It's Joe Namath. Didn't get any more cocky than that.
But it's cute because he's sitting around the girls at the pool
yeah.
next to, I think,
called
Brent Musburger. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's
but
cute.
That's cocky.
Cute.
That's cocky. But
no, it's not cocky. It's cute. It's, oh, look what he did. Oh, but T.O. does it. Randy Moss, not so much. Not so much. We're seriously talking about sit-ups in a driveway.
Yeah, the guys never had any problems.
Really,
they never had any issues off the field. They never had any run-ins with the law.
And you talk about, we like to lump things together. Oh, his teammates didn't like him. Did his teammates not like him, or did one really vocal teammate not like him?
Right.
Because I'm convinced when all that stuff happened with the Cowboys, that final year, there was all this talk about Romo and Witten and T.O., and it was all going to Ed Warder. I'm more than confident from the thing that it was Jason Witten who was telling Ed Warder that. So is it suddenly the entire Cowboys locker room hates T.O.? Or is it just the guy who told the reporter he doesn't like T.O.?
And even if you're going back to any problems, like, I know that Randy Moss had issues in high school. Or was it college?
High school, I believe.
It was
maybe
high
college,
school.
Too, a little bit. I don't know.
And he may have had to switch colleges, too. I think that may. But, you know, okay, but that's not what we're talking about, right?
No.
We're talking about your NFL career.
Correct.
And so once he gets into the NFL, he's pretty much the one of the most unstoppable receivers we've ever seen in the entire history of the game. Like, how can you deny? And it wasn't just for 1 year. It's a good body of work for both of these guys. I just don't understand why they're trying to deny them.
This text here, Lawrence Taylor was off the field. T.O. and Randy Moss were on the field / locker. There's a difference. No, there's not, because there were no problems on the field. Now, the people will make the argument with Randy Moss, oh, he took plays off. Okay, how many wide receivers do you know who take plays off? Because go ahead, name all of them.
I was going to say all of them.
Name every single one of them.
Even the ones on the bench?
Maybe Larry Fitzgerald doesn't. And if he has, he probably just never gotten caught.
Exactly.
He made it look like he was doing something really, really hard at that time, but he was trying to catch some wind. The fact that this is still a conversation, you know, well, almost a month later, shows how egregious and what a huge mistake this was by the NFL to leave him out. Because now you can't put Randy Moss in over him. And now you've started preaching morality. And I'm going to scream like a maniac if Ray Lewis gets in next year.
Well, at least T.O. has a sense of humor about it. Do you see his tweet?
I did.
His tweet on Oscars after the Academy Awards. He's like, wait, Moonlight won? Yeah. So that means I did get into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it was clever.
We'll come back. You know, talk about the NFL taking stands. How about we mentioned the Combine. It's about to kick off this weekend. Some of the ridiculous questions they ask these players. We got those for you next here as we continue on Sports 1140 KHDK. Text here at 44-1140. T.O. and Randy Moss, bad teammates, so keep him out. Ray Lewis, indicted for murder, pleaded out. That's okay, we'll let him in.
Great teammate, though.
I guess that's all that matters.
Incredible teammate.
Two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Two Super Bowls.
Got two Super Bowls, man. They're big Super Bowls, too. Want to get in Ken here before we move on from this. Ken, what's happening,
buddy?
Oh,
this is going to be the end of the show. I'm
right?
going home.
I know. We'll probably leave right now. Pay the man, Ken.
Hey, how you fellas doing, man? Welcome back, Damian.
Oh, we appreciate you. This is a different Ken.
Yeah, it is.
We got to start clarifying on the screen.
Oh, okay.
The Ken and then Ken. So this is Ken. Ken, what's happening?
Hey, man.
Oh, yeah, this is South Sack Ken, man. Just call me South Sack Ken.
That works for me.
Okay, so you know about the DMV over there on La Mancha?
Oh, yeah. You better make sure you make an appointment, man.
I do.
You're going to be out there about 3-4 hours.
Dude, I made one this morning. They had me in and out in 20 minutes, player. In and out in 20 minutes.
Man. Hey, what's your name?
I'm Ken.
Hey, that's why I had you in and out, and you named Ken. That's how we do it, baby.
Sounds
hey, on this Hall of Fame stuff, man, it's ridiculous because we watch these players. They're not for their personalities. You know, we watch these players the way they play. They jump, the way they tackle, the way they catch, the way they run. You know, so when we talk about voting somebody in for recognizing their stats for what they've done in the league, man, you can't worry about their personality and how they acting. And, you know, on the other side, if they doing crimes, you know what I'm saying, so outside breaking the law, I'll look at them differently. But if they just a knucklehead and you know, and they play the game like they want to, you know, but play it well, hey, in the Hall of Fame you should be, man. It shouldn't matter, man. Come on, man. Talk to me, Ken.
South Sack Ken, right? You're all right with us, man. Yep. We appreciate you. Okay, all right.
It's like Allen Iverson, right? I'm sure that Larry Brown, if he had to say who my favorite player I had to coach is, I'm sure Allen Iverson is nowhere near the top of that list, or any coach for that matter. But, man, nobody played the game like Allen Iverson, and how are you going to keep him out the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So your Hall of Fame is not even worth the building it's put in if you don't put that guy in there. I think these guys are the same.
And let's not confuse off-the-field issues with these guys. Off the field issues has been a term for the Bengals, who you know, every week were winding up, you know, on a security cam somewhere.
Yep.
Those are off the field issues. What these guys did, that's not off the field issues.
Nothing.
Your teammates don't have to like you. It's not a rule,
right?
And it shouldn't be a freaking requirement to get into the Hall of Fame.
I see. It's the same as Allen Iverson. He's a guy who's like practice. I mean, it's a joke, but he was basically saying, "I don't practice hard.
Right.
I don't have to.
You watch me out
there.
You
see me play.
Yeah.
I leave everything out there. You won't worry about how I'm practicing? What is happening in the games?" So this is a guy that obviously wasn't easy to deal with, but you couldn't deny him. You had to put him in the Hall of Fame. And I seriously think that Randy Moss is the NFL equivalent to Allen Iverson.
So the Hall of Fame wants to take this moral stand. We're not going to allow these bad teammates into the Hall of Fame. Well, let's go over, you know, the Combine is kicking off. Part of the Combine, in addition to the Underwear Olympics that are all poked, prodded, measured, and monitored, are the individual interviews that these players do with each team. Now, keep in mind, state and federal laws prohibit potential employers from asking about sexual orientation during job interviews.
Really?
Yes. That is against the law. Unless, of course, you work for an NFL team. Then not so much.
Really?
Then you can find a roundabout way to do it. Eli Apple spoke last year how one of the Falcons' defensive assistants asked him, "Do you like men?" And Eli Apple responded, "Well, no." And the assistant said, "Well, if you're going to come to Atlanta, sometimes that's how it is around here. You're going to have to get used to it."
What?
What? NFL Combine right there, folks. Here's another one. How about, I believe it was the Combine also, where someone asked Dez Bryant if his mom was a prostitute.
What?
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yes. Dez Bryant was asked if his mother is a prostitute. Here's another one. This is from.
Wait a minute. And he didn't punch that guy in the mouth?
I don't believe that he did.
Is he still looking for that guy?
No, I think he knows who it is. I think
he's waiting for him, right?
I think they've hugged it out.
They're going
to
cash him outside. Okay. How about that?
How about that? Anthony Costanzo played for Indianapolis Colts, played for the Indianapolis Colts 2011 Combine. He said one team put together all of his worst plays, a stream of video, all of his worst plays, and would just keep asking, "What happened here?"
That's awesome.
What happened on this play? Another interview, he said, there was one guy standing over my shoulder on my left and one guy standing over my shoulder on my right. They were talking to me in each ear, asking questions like, "What do you like to drink?" "I don't really drink that much." "Nah, you drink. You smoke weed?" "No, I don't smoke weed." "What are we talking about here? Cocaine?" He said they just went back and forth like it was some kind of comedy routine.
That's awesome.
Can't then you turn it into the comedy routine? I know this is your job interview, but it's like, "Oh yes, all of the above."
You got some?
Right now.
Can we get high right now? This would be so much more fun. Come on, man.
I actually sell.
Got some in my back pocket.
Here, text this number right here. It'll be here, I guarantee you, in 5 minutes. If not, it's free.
Sporting News had an entire article on some of the ridiculous questions that these guys are going to be asked this weekend.
Well, that already had a pretty good list.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty incredible.
I think
you smoke weed? You doing cocaine? What you doing here, Anthony, huh?
I think they were trying to maybe trip him up. You know, is that sort of a Law and Order good cop, bad cop thing where you got him in the old interrogation room?
That's what somebody
trick him up.
He also discusses, the author of the article also talks about some of the tactics that teams will use. And one of them is they'll put a chair in the middle and then a circle around the chair, and they'll just ask questions. Come in, the guy won't know where they're coming from. He's just sitting in the middle of the circle. He could be getting asked a question from a dude who's sitting directly behind him. It's like some sort of tactic. I don't know what that tactic means or what you draw from that, but apparently it's something that's exercised within certain NFL franchises.
And this is all separate from the Wunderlich test.
Right.
Right. The Wunderlich is the written test. So did they say what order this happens? Does this happen after the Wunderlich or before?
I'm not sure which. All I recall is that the Olympics happened first.
Okay.
And then the interviews are after that. I don't know where the Wunderlich fits into there.
Yeah, I wonder when that is.
We got to get Adrian Ross on to talk about this. I know he's out at the Olympics. I had text with him a few weeks ago.
You can't call him that.
The underwear Olympics?
You said the Olympics.
I
meant to say the underwear Olympics.
So either you're going to say underwear each time or just get the Olympics thing out of them, because you're going to trip up and keep saying Olympics.
He's at the Combine.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
The football Olympics.
No, even that's bad. I'm sure NBC would like, excuse me, sir. We paid $1 billion to say
the NFL Network will be thrilled because they're airing the whole thing.
That's true.
No medal ceremonies in this one, though.
So, and you see about the thing that Adidas is giving out of the island, right? You're talking about
giving away an island. Yeah. Yes.
To beat the four, you got to run a 4.24. That's impossible.
You're giving away an island. They'll get you an island when it seems financially suitable.
Is that what it says?
Is that
the fine print?
Yep. Or they'll give you $1 million. You can buy an island for less than $1 million. You can buy an island for a couple hundred thousand.
I'll take the million.
Yeah. Who's going to work there?
Right. Is there a grocery store on the island?
Exactly. Yeah. I gotta fend for myself. Nah.
Club, what are we doing?
That's okay.
Thanks for being with us. Kings Nets tomorrow. We'll get you ready for that. Our KHDK NBA insider, Sam Amick, will join us tomorrow at 2:00. Ken, great to have you back. Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling. We'll see you tomorrow.